Welcome to All Write in Sin City, a podcast about writers and writing in the Windsor, Detroit region. Your podcasters today are
Irene Moore Davis, author, educator, and local historian.
Sarah Jarvis, former bookseller, publishing rep, and literary festival chair.
And me, Kim Conklin, Windsor-based writer and filmmaker.
Welcome to a unique All Write in Sin City show. This is Sarah. On March 19th, 2022, a virtual launch was held for a wonderful project called the Community Anthology, published by A Beautiful Place Publishing House, which is a part of Gertrude's Writing Room, owned by our friend Vanessa Shields. With poetry from 65 contributors from three continents, 8 countries, 4 Canadian provinces, and 4 American states, the Community Anthology is a great celebration of what we mean by community in the world today. You'll hear a selection from Colin Morton, Derek Carl Biso, C.M. Gadapi, Sarah Morris, Judith Cambia Obatusa, Peter Hrastovec, and Karen Rockwell, all of whom kindly read at the launch and allowed us to record their performance. Of course, in the nature of Windsor-Essex-based literary adventures, many people wear several hats, and in this case, our own Irene Moore Davis was a co-editor of the anthology with Vanessa Shields. Our own Kim Hutchinson's partner Mark Bradley is a contributor, as am I. There is more information about the anthology on allwriteinsincity.com. We begin with Vanessa and Irene sharing how this project came about.
So welcome everybody to the launch of this fabulous new anthology called Community. We are very excited to have you here with us on this auspicious occasion. I want to thank very much my co-editor, Vanessa Shields, the great author and proprietor of Gertrude's Writing Room, for really coming up with this amazing idea and roping me in, and it has been quite a delightful journey. I want to begin with our land acknowledgement. While we have people joining us from all over the world, frankly, we are hosting this event from the traditional territories of the Three Fires Confederacy of First Nations, the Ojibwe, the Odawa, and the Potawatomi. We also recognize the longstanding presence of the Huron-Wendat peoples and the many people of other First Nations, Indigenous, Inuit, and Métis backgrounds who have joined us here in Windsor, Ontario, and thereabouts in the years since. We are so grateful to be living on these lands. We encourage everyone to join us in the journey towards reconciliation with the original peoples. And we understand always that a land acknowledgement statement is just the beginning of the process of reconciliation. So Vanessa, can we talk about how you hatched the plan for this anthology and where this impetus came from?
Yes. Okay. So the call originally went out last September. And so we were like, you know, deep into COVID again. And I was wondering what I could do. And we do like to publish one collection of writing a year through Gertrude's Writing Room. And so I was really missing community. I was missing like seeing people in the same room. We get like real intimate and lovey-dovey at the writing room. Like we hold hands, we cry together, we hug. And I was really missing that and missing the community that is like physical togetherness. But I also knew that poetry has the power to connect us on the page and give us that kind of heart connectedness feeling. And so the first thing I decided was A, that it would be just strictly poetry, because previously we took poetry and prose, but I'm a poet at heart, and so I said, let's just do poetry. And the second thing that we did that was different was we opened the call up to like an international call, whereas before the call was for folks who were part of the Gertrude's Writing Room family. So those two decisions really change the nature of what we received. And the stats on that are honestly unbelievable. So we've got poets from 3 continents, 8 countries, 4 provinces, 4 states, and 26 cities. So, and all writing poems about what community means to you. And that in itself, the book, you can read it and really see that, you know, words can build community. Words are building community, and all different kinds of community, from family to friendship to swimming, community centers, libraries, grief as a community, love as a community, loss as a community. So really what came in were these just like tremendous pockets of community from everybody's hearts around the world. And so basically all these amazing submissions came in, over 180 pages altogether. And so what we did was we split them right down the line, and we each took a half of the writing. And so Irene and I each read ours and made choices on what was going to be accepted. And I can tell you that every single person who submitted did get accepted. So that was really important to us too. And we are so happy to say that we could create a book where we didn't have to turn anybody away, didn't have to, didn't want to, didn't need to. Everyone's poetry that they sent in was just amazing and important and necessary. Some of us didn't get all of our poetry published, but everyone who submitted got at least one thing published. So we're very, very happy that we could make that happen. And then, you know, we set to work trying to just organize it, lay it out.
And I particularly want to thank all of the authors who really participated in forming this community within the pages. It takes a lot of courage to surrender your work and to hand it over and to understand that courageous conversations may have to take place about the content and the formatting and certain choices. And I have to say, everyone was tremendously open to edits and suggestions for edits. And that was really very encouraging and made it a much more pleasant process for us than it could otherwise have been. But I think it's a great collection as a result of your openness and your being receptive to those kinds of conversations and to really serving the content and making sure that readers will be able to perceive all the beauty and joy and expression that were meant to be there on the page. Humans are very social animals, and we yearn to connect. And it was not hard to imagine that coming towards the end of this pandemic era, hopefully, people would have some things to say about community. But we did not anticipate just the embarrassment of riches that befell us in terms of all of these wonderful works being submitted from all over the world. We were so grateful and just overwhelmed in a good way by the response. And we think that as you make your way through these pages and become part of the community, whether you are one of the contributing authors or whether you are participating as a reader, I hope that it will warm your heart and give you new ways to look at things. There's certainly a lot of great variety of perspectives in this collection, and we are so grateful for everyone who participated, however they participated. And I especially want to thank Vanessa, who really did a lot of the administrative labor to make this happen. And that's not any light task on top of all of her other roles. So certainly grateful to Vanessa for taking so much of this work under her wing. I got to do the pretty stuff and the fun stuff. And Vanessa had to do the business stuff as well as pretty stuff and fun stuff. So that was truly something for which I will always be grateful. But I do think that we've had opportunities to learn more about how to be a community through our period of isolation. And I just hope that we will all carry those lessons forward continuously and not revert to those means of isolation and, you know, putting up walls and barriers between people, between categories of people, between communities of people, or between individuals, just because we're heading back to normal. Hopefully our new normal will be better than our old normal. And I think that work like this, books like this, and words like these really support that endeavor.
Beautiful. Well said. Oh, and I do want to mention one more thing. Our youngest contributor is Abby, you're 15. Give me a thumbs up. Are you 15? Yes. So 15 years old. And then I think there's a gal who's 17. So yes, we've also like our community is wide ranging age-wise and in diversity. And thank you, Abby. This is the second poem that she's had published with ours. She's a third. Thank you. She's telling me her third poem published, and she's only 15. And she's a really avid member of the Gertrude's Writing Room family. So yay to all ages of writers, and especially for your courage, Abby, to continue to write and share with us. So keep it up, girl. Let's hear some poetry right now. How about that?
Oh, Jax the dog is here. I forgot to mention that we have a contributor who's Jax the dog. Jax the dog also contributed a poem.
Irene's going to do the introductions for our poets who are reading today.
So pleased that you're all joining us. All of these fabulous poets, my goodness. It was so, so hard to pick who was going to be given the opportunity, but we wanted to strive for various forms of balance and representation, and we do feel that we've achieved that. If you weren't asked to read, please know that your poem was also, or poems were also very fine. And we are so pleased that you are part of this work. So I will begin by introducing our first reader, Colin Morton. Colin Morton is someone who has written 12 books, and he has readers in Nanaimo, Santiago, Fargo, Sydney, Lisbon, Lagos, Shanghai, and Newcastle, among others. His co-produced film has won awards in New York, San Francisco, Mumbai, and Rimouski, and has shown on IMAX screens worldwide. He is a member of the League of Canadian Poets and the Kurt Schwitters Society, and he lives beside the Rideau River in Ottawa. Please welcome Colin Morton.
I wrote this poem imagining how the choir practice was changed, also choir practice 2020. In performance, their voices rise, commingle amid the rafters of the church. Harmonies meld and merge hymns of praise and sweet lament that somehow comfort and console. But all is silent now above the pews. Each at home, the choristers sing into their laptops microphones, conducted by a remote device that adds cathedral-like reverb to lonely voices in small rooms. Satie's Nociennes. Day one of the lockdown, she said she would play the Nociennes each day until the plague passed over and real life resumed. Now it's nearing day 400. She's quarantined and the ICUs are full. Still, the light play of fingers on the keyboard brings a few moments' peace to her day. It's spring again. She opens her window and spreads the music's calm composure over the socially distanced street.
Thank you. That was absolutely lovely. Thank you so much, Colin Morton. We will next hear from Derek Carl Biso. Derek Carl Biso, they, them, theirs, is currently living in Windsor, Ontario with their wife, Janet, and cat, Eleanor. They labor as an artist, designer, educator, and philosopher. Their artistic practice and research is currently focused on identity, relationships, ethics, the erotic, history, myth making and myth breaking, and conscientization. Thank you, Derek Carl Biso, for being here today. And we are looking forward to hearing your poems.
The first poem I'd like to share is We Came Together Again and Again. I remember the palatable amplification of our collective power gathered around the base of the big flag on the riverfront. As hundreds became thousands, as we streamed along the winding path from all directions, and we became a mass. Our weighty steps through the corridors of our city and our booming voices echoed against the stone and the steel. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. We marched and we chanted, held in each other's arms and given the space to breathe, to grieve, and to find some reprise. Who protects us? We protect us. Who protects us? We protect us. We came together again and again for weeks. The need for community to be with our community and draw strength from each other's solidarity to again moor us and help soothe our aching hearts and hear our rage, share our sorrow, and again to build back up. I'd like to share my second poem, What Else Could Be Possible? Please do not rush us as we count our dead. Give us time to grieve our losses. Our hearts and our minds are shattered. We need time. There are still so many unaccounted for from before. We never had time, and this poverty is crushing us. When wounds have been left untreated, infections fester. The soul of our city is so sick, and the whole occupation is a cancer. Where do we go from here? I want to try for better with you and everyone else, for everyone that is here now and for everyone that is still to come. I think together we can make something great happen. Canada has to stop, and it isn't much of a loss anyway. It isn't a community. Canada is a branded corporation, a fiction written in the genre of law, and we can be more than this. Suspend judgment. And imagine, along with me, what else could be possible?
Bravo. I have to say, for someone who's never been published before, you are an excellent reader of your own work. That is tremendous. That is tremendous. Congratulations, and thank you so much. We will next hear from Carlene Godapi. Carlene teaches high school English in Northern New Hampshire and is the Associate Creative Director and Education Consultant for The Frost Place in Franconia, New Hampshire. Her work has been published most recently in Smoky Quartz, Agape, and English Journal, and her work appears elsewhere. She lives in Littleton with her husband, a very bossy dog, and two beehives. Please welcome Carlene Godapi.
The first poem that I'd like to share of the two that are in the anthology, Thank You for Your Service. And what about the families? The wives, mothers, brothers, sisters, sons, fathers, daughters, and lovers, all waiting. Sometimes it's 2,190 days, 52,560 hours. The weight of waiting, more than 3 million minutes, more or less, hating the more, dreading the less, unless it's on leave, checking sleeves, counting fingers and toes. Who knows what horrors are brought and bought by those who serve? Those who serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, drink coffee, 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 and stay awake nights, more coffee, fold the towels, write the letters, cry the tears, check the mirror, apply the lipstick and serve up smiles and gather up linens and stare at the sky. Why lie? Service gets no damn medals, just the clink in the sink of forks and knives, spoons, a jumble of cutlery needing polish, like iron markers, little outposts of service, new flags on graves. So the title of this poem is Ma Bell. Tethered pegs slide into round holes. June, would you connect me with staccato tick clicking like knitting needles? Muffled tisks and gasps. Can you believe it? The matriarchs of town listen in. They are the keepers of oaths and purveyors of news. Well, I never. Well, she did. How can we make connections? Calamity is currency. Three rings, it's your house. And have you heard? Four should be mine, but it's everyone's line. I saw a quick question in the chat what a party line was. Now I feel particularly old. A party line was a shared telephone line, and you literally had a specific number of rings. So you knew it was your house that was getting the phone call instead of somebody else's. But the problem, if somebody else was using the line, you couldn't call out until they got done. Or you could very quietly cover the receiver and listen in.
Thank you. That was excellent. Thank you very much. We will next hear from Sarah Morris. Sarah Morris, Franco-Ontarian artist and community organizer from the Detroit River region. She is perpetually curious. Find her at sarahmorris.ca. Sarah, we're looking forward to hearing your work.
The first one's called Transported. Transported. A boy emerges, head pops through a sunroof, belting in joy, waving the flag, honk-honking down a let, 9 a.m. Somewhere across oceans, a goal. And that one is about FIFA World Cup, FIFA, like any international sporting event that I usually can tell the score of what's happening just by people joyfully going down the street with flags. So I love that about downtown. And the second one is about a restaurant that my boyfriend and I actually went to today. This is called Ode to Shawarma Palace. Habibi, my friend, what can I get you? The line snakes out into the sidewalk, men in suits, mothers with children flock to Shawarma Palace, the best shawarma venue. Vertical spits of chicken and beef temptation, turnips dyed pink of the highest vibration, mountains of tomb with garlic bewitchment, fluffy pita stuffed, true taste bud enrichment. Murals of Lebanon's ancient past embrace the shop. Lush palaces and a snow-covered mountaintop. The vivid blue evil eye pokes out of corners and walls, protecting staff from jerks, cheats, and drunken brawls. Oh, Shawarma Palace, never change. Your vibe, your menu, the way jokes and orders are thrown behind plexiglass, the way that tasty sandwiches bring crowds en masse. To Shawarma Palace, my appetite will always belong to you.
That was delightful. We will next hear from Judith Cambia Obatusa. And Judith is a landed Windsorite as well as a handpicked Metro Vancouverite, lover of the written word, consummate oversharer, also recently has entered into the world of podcasting. So welcome to Podcasting Sister, and audaciously sharing her rambling musings with all and sundry. We will now hear from Judith Cambia Obatusa.
In community, walk with me, talk with me, run with me, sit with me in community. You back me up, you hold me up, you build me up in community. Cry with me, laugh with me, mourn with me. Rejoice with me in community. You encourage me. You support me. You inspire me in community. I walk away. You're there for me. I run to you. You embrace me. I walk away. You're there for me. I run to you. You embrace me. You are my community. I am in community. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. That was lovely. That was lovely. We will now hear from Peter Rastovec, a published poet, actor, community guy, husband, father, grandfather, lawyer, and someone ostensibly undecided as to what he will do when he grows up, if he grows up. There is always much to embrace, and his arms are wide open. That sums it up. I just want to comment that his bio could go on for pages and pages. Such an accomplished man, such a beloved member of our community. We're so happy to have you reading for us today, Peter Rastovec.
This is for Denise and for all those who really care about the planet. It's called In Protest. Let me slam wrappers on open streets, paper waste, coffee cup desolation, disposed, dispossessed, tossed from vehicles an act of desecration, fueling my rage. I take no issue with the hungry. My fury is with the contented, their bellies full, their thinking sullied, ignorance fed on a diet of carelessness, neglect. Nourish your bodies, dear people, but fail not to cultivate your callous hearts. Keep pristine this generous planet. Hang on to your filth, in your car, in your pockets, in your souls if you must, but leave Mother Earth like you found her, welcoming, merciful. So Hazmat, this is for the frontline workers. Hazmat. It sounds like a word from a book of magic, or the name of a city in the ancient Byzantine Empire. Purposeful, a symbol of concern, a call to safety, a vestment for the valiant, a sign of the times. This is what heroes wear, frontline fighters, not flashy nor slimming, not haute couture or fashion house friendly, in demand, protective, a hot item worn in hot spots. Everyone wants it. Not everyone can have it. You earn the right to wear this, well-worn, worn out, and fitting. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. And our final reader for today is Karen Sylvia Rockwell. Karen Sylvia Rockwell is inspired by her work as a counselor and by her colorful, many-faceted, extended, blended family. A Windsor, Ontario lesbian, poet, writer, artist, mother, and gay, Karen considers color home, chaos a friend, and words her salvation. Please welcome Karen Sylvia Rockwell.
So my first poem is called The Light That Is Patsy, and it's for activist Pat Noonan. A world of people flock to you, only to find in your presence their own brilliance. You created limelight, inviting others to share it. You held mirrors on their abilities, worth, beauty, brought to life their creativity. Your impish smile gleamed into the joy of many. Your laughter, always kind, so much fun. Places you entered were never dark or dull. People wanted to stand beside you, perform for you, create with you, to feel your warmth, your glowing acceptance, your shining example of how to live, how to care, and how to spread joy. You stood with the like-minded, and in the sun of your collective inspiration, held a flashlight on injustice after injustice, illuminating the path to better ways. In your decline, so many held the light up around you, and though you died as the sun came up, your passing created for us the most brilliant sunset. In the light of you, I have shone. I have learned to find and shine my own light. And the second poem I have is for a young, beautiful, vibrant, creative young man in our community, TJ Travis. For TJ, gentle, all-embracing spirit, justice in your bones. Marrow rich with history, your skin is thick with poems. Eyes wide with vision, ears keen to listen deep. Your blood runs with nature's best, world's wisdom fills your sleep. When awake, you sing to us, your hands the drum beats lead. Words profound breed love abound in echoes when you speak.
Thank you very, very much, Karen Rockwell. So many extraordinary poets were part of this collection, and I do hope that everyone will have a chance to really peruse each of their poems, but also their brilliant bios, and just learn about this fabulous community of people who are part of this collection. So at this point, we have an opportunity in the time remaining to open the floor for some Q&A and see whether there are any questions that you would like to pose to any of our authors, those who have read today or even those who haven't read today. You can use the chat for that if you wish.
And I just wanted to point out too that indeed everyone's bios are at the back of the book. So for sure, if you read a poem and then go to the bio or go to the bio and then read their poem, it's just a great way to get to deeply know each of the writers a little bit more. And I know it's very difficult to write a short bio. It's like one of the biggest challenges as a writer when they say 50 words or less and you pull your hair out and go, wait, what? In any case, thank you for everyone for contributing. But the reason why we asked for that is specifically for this, so that when we fall in love with your poem, we want to know a little bit more about who you are. And that's why we have the bios there for us to get to know each other beyond the beauty of the poem. Okay, Derek. Derek would like to have a say. So go ahead, Derek.
Thanks, Vanessa. I just wanted to take one moment, just some words that sat with me. I just wanted to share and say, you know, thank you, Judith, for a really beautiful poem. I felt very much in place of the reading, and I felt a lot of feelings, and I just really loved the literal poem. It was great. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. And there was one thing that was said that kind of struck back to the feelings I had listening to you, which was when Karen, you spoke with Patty, and you said, held a mirror to their abilities. And I just like, I was so touched, I started crying, you know, it's like, what a gift to give. And I just wanted to acknowledge, you know, the gift that we can be to each other and just what a wonderful thing that was. So I just wanted to give some words of thanks for some really beautiful things that were said and some feelings that you gave me. So thank you, everyone. And in particular, just those really powerful.
Thank you, Derek. Me too. I got it. I've got the lumpy cry throat going on like throughout the whole thing. So it's good. It's very meaningful and important. So thank you. Thank you for that sharing. Sir Les.
Okay, am I on?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'll try to be brief because I tend to talk a lot, as people know. But I'm reminded of something that happened in one of my first jobs. As I was shaking like crazy and super nervous, I did actually get hired. I couldn't believe it. But I remember on the coffee cup, it said, that, I think I get it right, the power of many, the value of one. And that's how I feel about her poetry. I'm kind of shaken up and touched and emotional and so many beautiful faces. I just wanted to thank Irene and Vanessa for having me take part in being part of this. And I wanted to thank everyone. All the poems were beautiful and they blew me away in a good way.
Thanks, Les. Les is an avid writer in Windsor here and publishes often on his Facebook page and has got a huge heart. So thank you, Les. Poetry is a container for dealing with sadness and trauma, but it is also a beautiful place to meet happiness and joy. And we were really conscious of that when we were reading the poetry, and there's a lot of joy and goodness and happiness in the collection. And we were like aware of that and conscious of that and happy to create that and have that kind of nice mingling of, you know, the light and the dark and the shadow in the light. So, okay, Peter James Billing, go ahead, friend.
Hi, how you doing? I'm just really honored to be here with everything. I think we have something very special. If we look at it, I mean, we have something that's a very powerful and potent message system in poetry. I mean, we're in a soundbite world, if you think about it. And in that soundbite world, these are beautiful songs that need to be heard. And I think that, you know, saying that is saying something about what this anthology is and everyone involved. And never discount, you know, what we're doing. Keep doing this and sharing it and everyone involved. And I think that when we embrace that, when we embrace the power of poetry, what we can do with it, then I think that, you know, we're going to change lives and we're going to change lives slowly. And so I'm very honored to be here today. And I just wanted to say thank you, Vanessa. Thank you, everyone. And Irene, and I know what it's like not to have the bios up front and things like that, Vanessa, but I just wanted to say Irene is also a very important executive producer and filmmaker as well with North is Our Caden. And I just think that Vanessa and you are a great team, and I'm just so happy to be here. So thank you for allowing me to be part of this great anthology.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you for pointing out more of the wonderful things that Irene Moore does for us in the world with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. Okay, so I just want to read, this is coming up. So as we mentioned, as Irene mentioned at the beginning, we have also have a 15-year-old human writer, but we also have a young dog writer. Actually, I don't know how old Jax is, but Jax is a dog. So when you get to the poem by Jax, it's our first ever published canine poetry or poem. So Jax wants to express his deepest gratitude for giving puppies a voice. He looks forward to meeting everyone and getting a belly rub from each of you. If I may extend a thank you to those folks who are not published in the anthology, but are here supporting poets who are published, family members, friends, other poets just from around who are here to join us for this occasion. So thank you for that. Thanks for giving your time and energy to be here with us today. That's really appreciated, and also speaks to another kind of community, how we can support each other, whether or not we're the ones who are being published. So thank you for that. That's awesome and excellent. And congratulations to everyone who keeps writing and keeps getting published. And even if they're not getting published, just keep writing and building community through that. We're so happy to be sharing this with you. Books are for sale. They will be out in the mail.
Thanks for joining us. Look for more episodes of All Right in Sin City wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out our website, allrightinsincity.com. For information and announcements of new podcasts, sign up to our email list or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.